traffic protected so that no one can come in and eavesdrop and no one's kidding them. Good. That works. When we get a sample, too late for them. But in between them, they collect a lot of money. And I've lost some figures for money a little bit later down. Okay, what do we got here? Something simple also that's a little more advanced. Going after phones directly, recording audio on them. A nice technique, it's been handled by a bunch of malware. It's a nice new technique of saying, okay, we know something about what you have on your phone. We know that you've got like those interactive voice response systems where you go press 1 for this, press 2 for that, press 3 to get to an actual operator, maybe, maybe not. You know, you get one of those. We have attacks like that where they're actually recording audio. The first one was the academic thing, I think it was called, I can't remember any names, like the touch logger, audio logger, well, I can see what that one's called. Sound coma. Okay, it was called something else before, but that was a trademark violation or whatever. They were infringing on someone else's trademark, so they had to change it to sound coma. Sound miner, that was what it was called. Sound coma basically just recorded audio off of IVR. It had a database of where you were, the pauses where the system's asking you, what's your credit card number? Input your credit number, press pound. They grab that audio, convert that to sound, to digits, and then kick the digits back to the attacker. A nice technique. When did that actually get used by real malware? You know, the guys are actually trying to make money. Oh, sorry. How much time do I have? Whoa, how long would I have before?
We went from an hour.
Oh, shit.
5 minutes because
of, you know, I apologize.
But I'm
on. Okay, let's skip. Okay, I've got 10 minutes. Let's skip past all this crap. All right. I'll get to the good stories. How about that? Better deal. All right. Skip the updates. Well, updates, they want to update. That's pretty much it. There's not a lot of magic to updating software, except they now realize that, okay, regular software does it. We got to do that, too. They're doing that now. Great. They're doing it. Not the interesting parts. That's pretty much it for malware updates. They're not visual. You don't see them. They're not interesting. They're nice. The good thing that malwares are doing now, and very useful. And I have better stories from like who else is out there? Root exploits, very common. What we're finding is that the bad guys, they're basically using the same 4 exploits that are written before when you read your Android phone. They're using the same ones. We got like 20, 30, 40 of them, whatever. And yes, we detect them. That's pretty much it. Basically, there's so many different ways that you can do this thing, where you can update your phone or like root your phone. It's like they're not wasting money. The bad guys aren't wasting money developing techniques. They're saying, okay, we'll just repackage your stuff and get on to making the money. That's what they're doing. Really nice, really useful, really annoying. But we pick them up because they are lazy enough that they use the same exploits. So no matter what you do, it's in the file, we detect it, and then you notice. If you didn't have some kind of rooting exploit and you expected to see it in that app, like you didn't want to root your phone, we tell you, which is good. But they're lazy, so, you know, we catch them. Once again, new technique. This is the more interesting part. Basically, a new technique is fraud. You pretend to be another app. But what these are basically are two apps. One is one-click fraud and one is fake token. Fake token pretends to be one of those bank token generators, you know, like an RSA token or similar. You launch the app, it gives you a code to access your bank with your password user. You're probably familiar with them. The point with the fraud is that unlike an injected app or an infected app, instead of having a legitimate application with code in it, this is like the majority of code in red basically is all the malware code. It's pretending to be a real app, but it really is 99 to 100% malicious code. Really interesting. That's fraud versus injecting code. So fake token, a little bit of code there. It basically says, okay, input your code. There were ones from about 2 or 3 banks. I forget which bank this one is specifically. And basically they just put up a fake code and you think you're entering your password. You give them your password. They've got your username, your whatever it is to activate the app. It gets them back to the attacker, and then the attacker says, okay, I'll take that, and I'll start spending your money. Nice technique. Very neat technique, and it doesn't actually do anything. That's the thing with fraud. They spent effort and time, but it doesn't do anything. Isn't it neat? Then we got something that also doesn't do anything, but makes a bit more money. This was a nice thing. I learned a few more details about what happened to the guys behind this, and I'll get to that real quick. This is a fake adult entertainment app that pops up every 5 minutes to request for a certain amount of money to be sent to the attackers. It's a fake app. How many people do you think would fall for something like that? Like, okay, it's a fake app, it's asking for money, it's an adult entertainment app. Probably nobody. I mean, AV to Texas, who would fall for this thing, right? Very unlikely. I mean, it has code there to, like, grab information and send some from your information, like your Google account information, to the attacker so they can maybe see your account, maybe. Really, it was more to make money. But we actually found out with this neat little app was, it's like, yes, we detected, but about 211 people actually paid these guys money. at about 9,000 users who download and install it, 200 people, that's 3%, paid the money. And it comes to about like 220, was it 21? Okay. Is that what that says? I don't know. I got this off other reports, but basically it's 21 million yen, which is like about, like as everyone's saying, $265,000 from 211 people for a fake app that doesn't do anything. It just pops up a window that says, pay me money, and they fell for it. Like, wow, okay, the nice thing, can you get arrested for that? Yes. They picked up 6 people, one of them the malware author, so don't do that. it's like, yes, people are dumb, but come on. They caught them pretty quickly, relatively, I think, in the last month or so. They picked up a whole bunch. They'll pick up the rest of the people after that. I mean, good technique. Good try. Okay, something a little more interesting or a little funnier. There's this app. It was now called Stamper, Mogava. It would pretend to be like a recipe app, but instead of giving you recipes, okay. This is different from fraud where the app's completely fake. This is injecting code where just like a virus where the malware is infected into the app, so it's got clean code plus the malware code. Nice. It's a start. So you'll see the blue code is legitimate code followed by some infected code there. It's a little bit different. The nice thing was this app photobombed all your photos on your SD card. So you've got all your family photos, and then this thing pops up an image of the Ayatollah Khomeini on your photos. Every single one of them. Wouldn't be so bad, you know, if it actually checked to see if it was infecting, like a standard file infector. Oh, you infected a file, you'll like change a header setting to say, I infected this file, so you don't reinfect, yeah? Which is a good idea, because you don't want to keep bloating up the size and get picked up easier. It doesn't do it, doesn't check that, so it ends up damaging your files. Actually, that photo there, yeah, I had told with some of his goons or whatever, you know, the deceased one, you know, and he just puts it in there, puts in every single file. It does not make a single check. You might notice a single check that's infected the file. It just says, okay, I found a file, boom, let's pop it in there. Let's see what the effect of that looks. There we go. Okay, you got a nice photo here, right? First setting, Gen 1, Gen 2, third generation. It just, it's always really in good shape. Not so much our president. I don't know. These guys are not that nice, you know. So that's the first technique they did. It was actually really simple to modify this thing and turn it into something else. Someone took this Stamper app and changed it into a new variant that goes after fans of a Japanese pop group, AKB48, I believe it's called. These guys. Okay, so it's very nice. Okay, Japanese pop band. Not 3 people, actually more like 65 people. They have what's called in elections where their fans vote for who, because it's such a big troupe. Only some of them can perform like a stage show, so it's like they'll take like 10 of them out of like 65 and you have to vote on them, and there's an election. So there was an election, I think, recently, a few months ago, right when this app came out, to basically go after fans of that app. You download an app that's supposed to be voting for this or give you the results of this election, and instead they got a little trick like the Ayatollah one, you get instead a picture of a little baby. That was the example from one of the contests from last year, where you could have, what would your baby and one of these girls look like? Yeah, so now you get a picture of you, all your photos, your family, your friends, whatever it is, with this stamp on every single one, with the same effect as the other app. So the Ayatollah and his goons, you've got an interesting little baby. Very cute baby. All babies are cute. All right. Let's look at some academic research real quick. Taflogger, another variant of what we've seen before, wherein you have the soft keyboard and you touch the keys and it records that. So usually you want to train the app, and there were previously the research had like 2 parts, a separate training app and a separate actual thing that uses data from there. So you push the buttons and you read the sensors, and you can kind of figure out where these numbers are, yeah? So you could either make people hit an app that looks like this, like the regular login app or the login screen, or you can make it an icon game where you like match the icons, which happen to be where the 1 through 9 and 0 and all that are. Nice technique. So they made a bunch of academics put together an app that does that, and they put it into one app, which is kind of nice. But the interesting part is they improved upon an academic design, but we haven't yet seen the bad guys do this yet. Academics are making a lot of new things, and they're not doing that yet. How many bets you want to take? It'll take 3 or 4 months. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. It depends. It depends on how much money you can make by getting your access code. And let's see. Just a quick diagram how they do it, where they pick up the information from the app. Nice technique, but more interesting is professional research. Has everyone here heard of Bouncer? This is the new security system setup, whatever, from Google for cleaning the App Store of all of these bad apps we're talking about here. And recently at SummerCon, like last month, researchers John Oberheide and Charlie Miller, and they basically came together and said, let's build an app and get into the store and find out what is this bouncer? How does it work? Because Google didn't give us any information at all on this. Which is security to obscurity. No one knows what it is. The bad guys don't know. Worst part, the good guys don't know. We have no idea. So what do they do? So actually, what are they known for? John Oberheide's known for putting together a lot of fake apps in the Android store, like Eclipse Trap, which was a Twilight preview app that was like supposed to be a preview for Twilight Eclipse and like show you like pictures and all that good stuff. But it really did was it downloaded native binaries from his server, so you could attack your phone with the latest root exploit you can find or whatnot. Good technique. Very nice. Pissed off all these Twilight fans because they only had like two images. That's it. There was the preview app and the one in the app itself. It sucked. But he owned your phone. Okay, same thing Charlie Miller. He put together a nice little stock market app that tells you the stock prices and downloads code onto like your iPhone. Got him banned from the Apple Store or app developer program for a year. Ooh, so sad. He wasn't done. He said, let's go after Google. Two good guys. Okay, so what is Bouncer really? Bouncer is it's supposed to be a good system. Okay, I have these out of order. I think I was supposed to do the intro first. Basically, it's designed to like see is your app good or not. How does it do it? They wrote an app, Oberheide and Miller, that was basically it got submitted to the Google's App Store system and got loaded up. And they found that you could actually submit an app without paying any money. Also, nice technique. They found a few good things there. But the interesting part is this app, it gives them a connect-back shell back to Oberheide and Miller, and they were able to explore the system and see what is Bouncer. It's apparently a nice little a customized version of the same emulator that you have in the Android SDK, and it allows you to. And there's also Bouncer also includes a human component where someone will actually run the code. They mentioned it probably in their speech, if you whether you've seen it or not. They'll be doing. I think one of them or both of them might be doing it later on and at another conference later on. But the key takeaway is that while they were exploring with this connect-back shell into Google's network, they were exploring the VM. Occasionally found out they were actually kind of run commands against the interpreter and whatnot. It turned out they were talking to an actual human tester at the same time. It's like, hey, someone's playing with our app. What do we do? Yeah, so they tried to avoid that. But the point is that Google's trying hard finally to actually do security on Android. They're trying to make it better, make it more difficult. They're keeping the bad guys out. Mostly they're keeping the good guys out, you know, Charlie and John and whatnot. I mean, I'm not sure how effective that is, but, I mean, give us information, we can do a better job. Otherwise, we resort to activities like the guy putting out the Ayatollah on your pictures. You know, I mean, what are we going to do? We need more information like that. And basically, Bounce is a nice technique, and it runs your app for about 5 minutes in a VM and tells you, it basically does what a lot of the analysis tools we use against real Android malware to see if it does work or not. And they apparently Google's using the same thing. They're not talking to any of us in the security field, even though we've made approaches, you know. I mean, please talk to us, you know, and work with us. We're all going to the same spot. They're not doing any of that. What they're doing is basically running their own, and they put together a VM that has one picture. I think it was a picture of Lady Gaga. It has, like, one contact, and it has, like, a one user on it. Like, it's nice. It'll fool maybe an automated app. It's not going to fool an actual attacker. It's not going to do a lot for an attacker who says, okay, I'm not going to do anything for the entire vetting process, so I stay like a normal app until 6 months online, I connect to your app in your infected phones and maybe 1,000 phones. There'll actually be another talk at Black Hat at the end of the month with a different company and different researchers who are, what are they doing? They're doing the exact same thing, going after Bouncer and seeing what's going on and what is it. And the key being is the bad guys are getting better. They're still making money on us. They're still going after our apps. When are we get the same tools to go after them to see what they're doing and get along with that? How much time? I'm not actually sure how much more time I have. Okay. Maybe I can go backwards a little bit here. There's some of the ones I skipped over. Hold on. Okay, what's this thing? Okay, I kind of covered that. They looked over it, and it was kind of neat. But basically, guys who are very creative are going after Google. These are the good guys that know what they're doing. We haven't quite seen that yet in the attacker space, so we're not seeing people trying any of these really genius attacks. I mean, it's like, let's put together an app that pretends to be something else and send it out there. I mean, I'm guessing that mainly the attackers are what we're seeing. Like from last year, we're looking at how people are making money off of apps and saying, okay, they're doing it with SMS, they're doing it with botnets, and we actually have quite... there was a talk about an Android botnet sending out Yahoo spam mail last month? No, a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, yeah, it's an Android botnet. And I think there was a researcher from Microsoft, maybe an engineer from Microsoft, who blogged about a possible Android botnet. I've seen dozens of those, in China mainly, but I've seen dozens of those. They exist. I blogged about a whole ton of them last year. I actually did a presentation on these last year, and it's like, they exist, they're real, they're on a number of platforms. So it's not a surprise, but we didn't see any of that, or any evidence of that with this so-called Android botnet with the email that was sending us spam email. No real presence. I mean, even Google says this isn't proper. Some of my colleagues said, no, it's not really a botnet. Which would actually, if it was sending out spam like that, would get caught by Bouncer. There are techniques for it. It makes a lot of noise. But we're not seeing a lot of skill on the part of the attackers on Android. Maybe on iPhone, which also takes a hell of a lot more skill to get onto if you're an attacker. Maybe. Where we're not actually seeing them in the wild going after everybody. What we are seeing is those attacks after, I guess, low-hanging fruit. So some kind of SMS, some people who are downloading apps. People who download the adult entertainment app and keep paying it. That's an odd number, really. 211 people out of 9,000? I mean, still, 3% is still high for what I expect for something like that. I mean, because we've run across that in Java all the time. Where was that using Java mobile apps in coming out of basically out of Russia, pretty much? It's like a big a subset of malware came out of there. Basically, it's either fake porn apps or fake chat apps. You think you're getting one or the other, and you end up paying money. And the fact that it actually works is the most amazing thing ever. I mean, you're already stealing things or going after pirated software, and you're paying money? It's not quite as good as the PC ones that tell you, okay, yeah, we're going to send your information to cops or something, like you're getting in trouble or whatever. Not even that. It's not even a threat. It just says, give us money. And people just give them money. Are we all in the wrong business or something? You know, yes. People are stupid, but I didn't think that's stupid. You know, what's the phrase or the comment? Every time you try to make it foolproof, they build nature builds a better fool. You know, something like that. Actually, I think I can actually probably go over the update stuff, really, when it was involved in update. This kind of reflects back on Charlie's and John's techniques. They both tried basically apps to pretend to be something else and downloaded native binaries like an exploit. Basically, an update is a very common thing, like on the PC, where you get on the device or on your PC first, and you just sit there and you wait, and you're like, oh, you compromised the machine. Maybe not fully, but you're waiting, and you download additional code or better software onto the phone, onto your PC, and you exploit the PC, which is the way it's been done like over the last 10 years. It's been done. Now we're starting to see it on the mobile, and for some reason everyone's surprised that we're able to download additional code. You gave us internet access. You let us run native code. What did you think we were going to do? So the good guys are doing that. The bad guys have also decided we're going to try that. We've seen a few samples, I don't remember the names offhand, that will actually download additional code from the attacker's website. And, yeah, two ways they do that. One is through on Android with Dalvik, where you can load up a .dex file. No, okay. So I'm like 2 minutes. Okay. Thanks. Okay, no problem. Sorry, everyone else is coming in. So quick question. Is there room outside to discuss anything more?
If you want to talk more, straight up the hall.
Okay.
The Hilsen scene room.
Okay.
I'm in there right now. And
okay.
You can hold forth, you know, have interaction.
Okay. No problem. I pretty much went to the slides.
It's adjourned to the Felsenstein. It's right on the other side.
Felsenstein?
Yeah, right on the other side.
Okay, there's right down the hall, there's past the elevators, there's a room, the Felsenstein room. Sorry, how do you pronounce that?
So what we'll do, and I do apologize, as you know, the keynote went a little long, and once we get off schedule and desynchronize, and it's really hard to go from talk to talk. So we're going to try to bring in the next talk here in a moment or two.
Right,
and the people that want to continue on with this discussion, the Felsenstein room is just beyond the elevators on the left. And just pick up, move there, and that'll be the continuation of this discussion.
And then the
next talk will start up in here momentarily.
Yeah,
and apologize for the logistics. Yeah, we.
What was the talk about? I mean, back then, I mean, the NSA guy. How good was he? Because he went like 2 hours. He must have been impressive.
Well, almost. We did lightning talks at the end.
Okay.
But he was one of the keynotes. And the
keynotes,
we give some latitude
for keynotes.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So what I recommend is just go ahead, go walk, and let people follow you. And as far I'm pretty sure, as far as I know, no one's scheduled in there for even a couple of hours. So
okay,
you can
good.
Sit down and chat.
Have some time to talk with people.
You know, formally, whatever.
All right, excellent. Howdy.
Do you think that, I mean, obviously there's more malware being tried to get
yes.
But do you think that iPhone is a more secure platform there? Or just only based on the fact that there's more malware being tried?
It's part of like, if you look at Windows, every.